Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man call, Romero and Schneider. Yep, we are on Soul Patrol. We work directly for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We also work for Domina, Our Lady. And we try on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we try specifically to give you Catholic spiritual warfare and to give you Catholic spiritual warfare based on 2,000 years of church teaching. This is what we would call intel. Briefing for those of you guys that are first responders. We're giving you your briefing, your marching orders, so that when you hit the streets, you can go out there and effectively evangelize. Dan, welcome to the show, my brother.
Jesse, reporting for duty. I'm 10-8 for Jesus.
That's right. Dan, here's what I want to talk about today with you, and just want to go back and forth about the whole theology that Holy Mother Church has given us about taking custody of our eyes. Because we've all heard the saying, the eyes are the window to the soul, which basically means when you look into a person's eyes, you can tell what the person thinks and feels. And, you know, there's a lot of Latin works that have used this phrase or paraphrase it. But I think it's borrowed from the words of Jesus in Matthew 6:22-23. Where he says the eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is sound, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is not sound, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? I say this, Dan, because to research for some of these programs on Jesus 911, sometimes we have to look at some dark things. And this is basically a revisiting of a person who promotes a lot of darkness. Her name's Marina Abramović. She's the fallen away Serbian Christian, and she's a high-level Satanist. And when you look her up and you research some of the things that she's involved in, there's no doubt that she's a Satanist at a very high level. She's very influential with the rich and famous. Now, I know I send you some articles for you to read so that we can talk about how twisted, how demented what she's doing, the far-reaching effects that she has by using the rich and famous. But let me ask you, Dan, this isn't for, I mean, just the common Joe Catholic that's just trying to, you know, survive from day to day, shouldn't be looking at these websites that have these very evil pictures on it, like we see in Marina Abramović, or even a lot of the TV series, Dan. There's at least a dozen of them that I've counted, where you have paranormal activities, ghost hunters, and oftentimes, you know, they, through creative licensing, they have a lot of evil imagery coming through the television into your house and into your eyeballs. Let me ask you, Dan, for the Catholic that's just trying to live a life of holiness and live, you know, live in a state of grace, is it a good practice to be watching all kinds of macabre pictures, all kinds of pictures that are gory, all kinds of pictures that show the darkest side of a human being, satanic worship? What's the danger of a Catholic just saying, well, Dan, I just do it for fun. I just do it for entertainment. I just pop a beer and I just sit down and watch this, this stuff. It just entertains me. It's just recreation. What would you say, as somebody who's been involved in this field at a high level, what would you say to the average Catholic about taking custody of your eyes? Is that important?
Well, it's absolutely important. As you say, the eyes are the window of the soul. That works both ways. Windows are open and let things in and let things out. So we know that on letting things out, we can see the sadness in the eyes of another. We can see the love in the eyes of another. You can see the hatred, the anger, the lust in the eyes of another. But those eyes, that window opens both ways. And so you can through curiosity, allow diabolic things, thoughts, et cetera, into your house or into the home of your soul. So, for example, the first sin of Eve, if you really slow down the movement of our, of the, you know, what we call protology, the study of the first things. If you look at the fall of Eve, first, it was curiosity. Mm. Curiosity to unnatural and unholy things, countering God. So once she began to gaze upon that tree and upon the fruit, and she started lusting upon its allurements, at that point, her curiosity opened the door. She lost custody of her eyes. She begins to look at the apple. And in that look of the apple, the demon is watching us. That's the thing we got to understand. The demon's watching our behavior. He's listening. He's doing everything he can to do his opposition research against us. And if she patterns out every single day going by the same tree, looking at the same fruit with the same increasingly lustful eyes, at the opportune moment, the demon's going to step in and say, hey, did God really tell you this? Because what happens is the custody of the eyes is incredibly important, because it's the eyes that give access to the soul. And so we develop in Libra Christo, for example, a strict discipline of prayer, because in that strict discipline of prayer, we develop custody of the intellect. So it's important to avoid, as St. Paul says, it is not fitting for Christians to even speak of the things that is done by certain individuals. So we have cases where people, out of curiosity, start watching ghost hunter type shows, paranormal shows. And then out of their curiosity for the supernatural, they start watching television shows. And then the demon gets what that is giving the demon is a privilege. It's giving them some sort of access to the soul or to the home. And so we've had cases where just watching that show, somebody is not in a state of grace. They're watching the show. The demon now infests the home. And not only does he infest the home, he starts playing with the people there, making sounds. And rather than rejecting in the name of Jesus and getting sacramentalized, they record the sounds, and they're all fascinated in their curiosity about communicating with demons. Anytime you communicate with a diabolic entity, you create a bond with that demon. So it's important for us to avoid this stuff altogether, and stay pure. Keep our eyes pure. That which is good, that which is holy, that which is uplifting, St. Paul says. Focus and think about these things.
You know, Dan,
thing goes with our speech. Yeah.
Let me just back you up with a verse of scripture I just grabbed right now, just looked it up. Job chapter 31, verse 1, Job, who the Bible calls a righteous man, he says exactly what you said. He says, quote, I made a covenant with my eyes that I would not so much as think upon a virgin. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about high-level the high-level interior life. Let me read that again. Job says, I have made a covenant with my eyes, obviously to the Lord, that I would not so much as think, other translations say, so much as look upon a virgin. So Job understood the importance. Again, the eyes are the windows to the soul. I mean, there's a theology right there. He's saying, this beautiful virgin in front of me, I can't even look at her, because it's going to impact my soul. It's going to trigger my passions and emotions, maybe in a disordered manner. And so Job is saying exactly what you're explaining, Dan. Continue.
Yeah, so custody of the eyes is very important, so that we can protect the intellect. Because if you slow down, you and I are fighters, and if we're going to do opposition research, and we're going to slow down the guy that our fighter is fighting against, we're going to look at the films. If you slow the punches down, it's curiosity as seen through the eyes, an obsessive look with the eyes in curiosity that exposes the soul. So being hit with a projected temptation is not itself a sin, but there's a real fine line between temptation and sin. When the demon projects a temptation, and then with the intellect, if even for a moment appropriate it, you grab it. You're like a little bunny rabbit that goes over to the carrot and just sniffs it. Even if you don't take a bite of it, you've now committed, because with your will, you've now given thought to the temptation, if ever briefly. And so this is the real fine point between temptation and watching our temptations and our own willful submission to them with the intellect. And once you say, look at, as Job says, once you look at a young woman, then the thoughts, once you look at it, the demon knows the moment at which your will is now engaging. That's when he's projecting. And to the extent that you give your will in this to this temptation, and the extent that you start entering into the some fantasy loop, the demon now enters into that and now is projecting. That's how he works. And so we see the first sin of Eve, projection. He knows that the time is perfect. He knows when the time is punches, much better than any of the greatest fighters in the world. He knows how to time his punches, and he knows in the opportune moment to take it. So she was there. She was tempted. She was curious, and in her curiosity, and there he starts projecting. And I forget which church father has said this, but he said that the demon only projected her thoughts to her. And this we refer to in our, sometimes you'll hear this referred to in the Libro Cristo talks, and that is the talking snake. The demon knows what our temptation, at least he guesses what our temptations are by watching us, and then projects the words. So did God really say you would die the death if you took a bite of that? So now
I hear the music, Dan.
Dialogue.
Oh, I hear the music.
That was, all right.
Jesus 911, Dan Schneider Romero, talking about custody of the eyes in relation to the diabolical. Dan, I want you to tell me at what level on the next segment, Marina Abramović, using maybe the church, would she be considered like a bishop or a cardinal in Satanism? And what's the dangers of what she's doing with the spirit cooking? I want you to get into that on the next segment.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to his church, to aid and defend her.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol 108, two-man car, Schneider and Romero. Catholic spiritual warfare based on 2,000 years of Catholic teaching, not on some novelty. Dan, I wanted to get your take on Marina Abramović. She's a fallen away Serbian Christian. She's a high-level Satanist, and just by doing some research like we've done, it's all open on the internet, she's involved in something called spirit cooking, which is one of the darkest things I've ever seen in my life, my eyeballs. She also has a lot of very dark, macabre pictures of her and things that she's participated in. You know, one of the things about as gory as I'll get is she's got a goat's head in her hands. She's holding it by the horns. It's decapitated. And it's bleeding. And we know that's a sign of Satan. She's involved in the spirit cooking. She gets the rich and famous. We even know that John Podesta, who worked for Hillary Clinton, he's attended her spirit cooking dinners, and also we know that to Bill Gates, the Rothschilds, she's connected with some of the most powerful people, Jay-Z, Beyonce. So here's my question. In the spirit cooking, to me, it's a mock celebration of the Holy Eucharist. What they do is they have her human, a replica of her human body naked, of her, of Marina Abramovic. So they make her human body and they put it on round tables. You get all these rich and famous people that pay a lot of money to go. They give them forks and knives. Then they start poking at this thing that looks exactly like a human body. And they start eating. It's like a mock cannibalistic dinner by the rich and famous. The pictures are very disturbing. Dan, some people may say, well, I'm just going to this stuff. Some of the actors may say, I'm just going here because it's kind of cool. You know, just I want to just, you know, go along and get along with the rest of the other actors. And, you know, this is just kind of chic. And this is kind of what's in style right now. But I'm not really into this stuff. How dangerous is this woman and the practice of spirit cooking and bringing in probably a lot of low information Catholic actors to come to these spirit cooking dinners? Is it innocuous? Am I just making a lot of hay out of nothing? Or can this lead to diabolical affliction at a high level? I know Father Gabriel Amorth says in one of his books, he says, of the four ways that somebody conjures up an evil spirit, one of the four ways is going, hanging out with evil people and going to evil places. That's one of four ways, he says, to attract an evil spirit. Is Marina Abramovic innocuous? Am I just making too much hay out of this? Or is this woman a high-level Satanist being used powerfully by the devil, who we reject, renounce, and rebuke in Jesus' mighty holy name? Amen.
No, I think you're tracking absolutely correctly. Interesting is certain acts, most of the cases that we get of diabolical affliction, it's things that come over time. Over time, people grow, they're little by little lured away. At some point, the demon enters from the exterior temptation and moves them along to oppression, into levels of obsession, trying to work into the interiority of the person. As St. Paul says, I have been possessed by Christ. The diabolic, everything the diabolic does is an inversion of that, all that is good, holy, and beautiful. Think about the transcendentals. According to St. Thomas, goodness, beauty,
and truth,
unity, these things are transcend. They lead us by drawing us higher up and transcend into God's. We see authentic beauty, and we are led to He that is all beauty. We see, encounter something good or truth, and it leads us to ultimate absolute truth and beauty. And so the first entry point here, it's called, it's part of the, quote, celebrity art world. This is first and foremost a mockery of sacred art. She made her fame in an art display in New York, where she laid out in the entryway. She was the art exhibit. There was a gun there. There was knives there. There were different elements of torture. She laid there for so many days in a row, and people could do whatever they wanted to her body in the name of art. And the actual wow. what she dubs her own so-called art is as an evocative instruction for actions and thoughts. Think about that. She herself says the evocative instructions for actions and thoughts. Watch the curiosity we talked about in the last segment on Eve. these things become entry points for the evocation of evil thoughts and evil words. Now, most of the cases that come to us, yeah, it's little by little over time, but there have been cases where of heavy, high-level obsession or possession cases where someone, well, what happened? I was at a detention facility. One of the guards and some of the inmates got together with us, and we all stripped naked and jumped into a pentagram and consecrated ourselves to Satan. That'll do it. It doesn't have to be this gradual takeover. You can consecrate yourself very quickly, very, very, very immediately. Things happen. Other things we got to be very careful about, not just the thick stuff we see here, but satanic music, some of the screamo satanic, not some of it, all of it. Again, it's counterfeit to true music, Gregorian chant, liturgical music, and even in this, there are mockery of liturgical acts at some of these satanic screamo concerts. So first you have a mockery of sacred art, and then you have a mockery of the victim's soul, where she is mocking a victim's soul.
Ah, I didn't catch. You're right. That right? is true. I didn't.
And then she.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's mocking the soul as offering oneself to God, as opposed to being used for the pleasure, plain pain, pleasure principle at the very lowest level. Remember, the Satanist or the pagan mentality begins at instinct, and not at the highest faculty is instinct. Do what thou wilt. Whatever feels good, do it. That's the satanic mantra. So she mocks Christ's sacrifice. She mocks the victim's soul. She also mocks the sense of what we understand an icon, where we look at sacred art, and it begins with Jesus from the cross when he says to the beloved disciple, "Behold your mother." That Greek word "ilou," the imperative to look at, behold, contemplate. That's where we get eventually the cognate word icon. In the Greek, for example, the Greek spirituality, you have a triptych or, you know, where you open up three sides to this wooden object and you look at one in light of the other two, and the other two on the periphery lead you to the center mystery. And so this is a mockery of Christian meditation and contemplation. Everything about her could be unpacked as a mockery of Christ, the church, and Christian authentic Catholic spirituality, deep spirituality. So as deep as our spirituality goes, this diabolic inversion goes just as deep and even deeper into its sacrificial nature, where it's a shedding of blood.
Dan and Marina Abramovic, she's not even hiding anything. Her Twitter handle is Abramovic M666. You know, she has all these things posted on the internet. This is like, you know, shooting fish in a barrel. If anybody thinks some people try to defend her and say, no, she just does this, you know, to get a reaction to people. She's not a Satanist. You guys are reading too much into this. No. In other words, people are saying, don't believe what you see. Don't believe your eyeballs when you look at the pictures that she's posted on the internet. Your eyes are lying to you, right?
Yeah. People. Well, I think what Chesterton say, that man can be blind to such a thing so long as it's big enough, you know. And so most Christians are blind to the reality of the Eucharist, and most day-to-day Americans are blind to reality before us of the evil that's laid out before us, because it's so huge. It's so huge and blatantly obvious that somehow in the genius of Chesterton, he summed it up. Man can be blind to such a thing so long as it's big enough. And this is a big one.
Dan, let me get your reaction. I'm going to quote to you the boss here, the boss. Father Chad Ripperger, in his book, the Introduction to the Science of Mental Health, page 535. Because this talks about what we're talking about here, Marina Abramovic, and the fact that it's dangerous for Catholics just to be saying, I want to find out more about this woman and start fishing around and reading all her articles, looking at all her pictures, especially if you're not in a state of grace. Like, just before I did this program, I did my Holy Rosary. I did all my morning prayers. I did spiritual warfare prayers. Dan did another one when we started the show. I'm wearing two sacramentals around my neck. I've made the sign of the cross like two or three times. It's dark to look at this stuff, because we want to expose it. And the reason we're doing this, because St. Paul says we're called to, you know, expose the darkness. And that's what we're trying to do here, expose the darkness. But we're trying to do it in a way, again, you know, we want to be sensitive, and we don't want to just glorify the macabre, because this program is Christ-centered, not anybody else-centered. Spiritual warfare is Christ-centered. But here's what the boss says about taking custody of your eyes, page 535. He says this: the directees, those are patients of spiritual affliction, he says, must be sure to avoid not only sinning themselves, but of watching the sins of others. By viewing the sins of others, for example, watching someone commit fornication on TV or killing someone in a graphic fashion on TV, they provide the sense data for the demons to make suggestions to them by forming images in their imagination. In fact, the more programs one watches on TV, the more demons can influence a person's actions, since they have more data to use. The more we become familiar with the imagery of sin, the easier it is for the demons to coax us into sinning, because we've lost our inhibitions with respect to the sin because we are comfortable with it. Dan, I want you to unpack what Father Ripperger just said in blue-collar language.
Yeah, in blue-collar language, this is akin to how they train bank tellers to identify counterfeit money. You know, when a new bank teller is hired by a bank, they teach them how to count, they teach them, you know, accuracy, et cetera, but they also never let their fingers touch a counterfeit bill, so that when that counterfeit bill does slide across their fingers, it is so foreign to them that they immediately spit it out. They immediately feel it in their tactile sense. Now, if we're smart enough to figure that out, to keep ourselves from being defrauded and loss of money at a bank, you know, banks, so nobody can rip off banks, how much do you think the demons understand this? So the more that we can retreat and pull back, this is, again, why in Liber Christo, our first phase is an absolute sensory deprivation and pulling back from the world and focusing on prayer and putting order and structure, because the demon tries to cause disorder. Where God is the God of order, Elohim, at the beginning, God created, and there was a void, it was this senseless void, and God speaks and creates the demon.
Dan, hold on the dot. Hold on. Continue. Jesus 911. We're talking about the importance of sensory deprivation in order to be healed from the diabolical. Jesus 911. Don't change that dial. This is good stuff. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us: by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show. and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. We're talking about the custody of the eyes, the custody of the senses. And we're also talking about the fact is, don't think that anybody out there is impervious. Don't think that you're so spiritually, armored up that you can't fall prey to the diabolical. I mean, this lady, Marina Abramović, I'm sure when she was a kid and her parents were raising her as an Orthodox Coptic Christian, I'm sure that she wasn't thinking that one day she'd be one of the highest level Satanists in the world, even surpassing probably Anton LaVey and Michael Aquino and the modern day Jezebel of planet Earth. Because, the devil goes after everybody. It doesn't matter if you're part of the church, the Catholic Church or the Orthodox Church, a sacramental church, because there's a Latin expression that says corruptio optima pessima, means the corruption of the best becomes the very worst. Here we've got a former sacramental Christian who's now the highest level of Satanist in the world. And what's she using? She's using the oldest trick in the world to lure people into Satanism and into the occult. Curiosity. Curiosity, like, what's spirit cooking? Wow, look at the modern art that she has. Dan, this reminds me, John the Apostle warns us clearly. Everything that you're just saying right now is summed up in one verse. 1 John 2:15, the Bible says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, number one, number two, and the lust of the eyes, there it is, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passes away, and the lust of it. So here we see that in verse 14, it tells us how to overcome the evil one, how to overcome the devil. We have to fight against the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If we consent to those willingly, we are basically giving ourselves over to the diabolical. So John the Apostle talks about one of the ways to resist the diabolical of the three ways is we have to resist the lust of the eyes. And this is what we're talking about here. This is what you guys do at Liber Crystal and you guys are teaching is this sensory deprivation. Say, you know what? You got contaminated by evil spirits as a result of not taking custody of your senses, not taking custody of your intellect. Now you're going to have to do the hard work. Now you're going to have to do some serious road work, some serious Catholic cross fitness training. And that's what Liber Christo does is you guys try to get people to go back to basically a militant way of snapping back somebody's, lower faculties into place and taking custody of their intellect by a monastic system of prayer instead of just by going to, Mrs. Robinson so she could lay hands on you and pray over you and make you feel good, and then you'll be back in 2 weeks with the same problems.
What you guys teach,
Dan, this is the tried and tested method for 2,000 years, correct?
Correct. Correct. And here's why it works. His father says it very aptly. Again, we're on Father's book, The Introduction to the Science of Mental Health, on page 535. It says, in fact, the more programs one watches on TV, the more the demons can influence a person's actions since they have more data. So the human faculty of the memory, it's a powerful faculty for good or for evil. And anyone that has struggled with pornography, and we've all struggled with lack of forgiveness, hurtful things in our past. In those memories, the demon has data, as Father calls it, to work with. The demon cannot create ex nihilo. Only God alone can create from nothing. In the beginning, God breathes, right? And through his breath is created the cosmos in orderly fashion. No, only God can create out of nothing, ex nihilo. The demon cannot. So, but the more we contaminate and bog down our interior lives with television shows, secular conversations, secular talk, you know, all these other things that are not of God, the more the demon has to work with. This is why we say it's very, very important that our effectiveness as in working in spiritual warfare, and we're all in spiritual warfare. And make no mistake, you're in a battle. You were born into a battle. You were born in a perfect and a time and place that God has said, I want this soul to battle and bring as much grace of my son's redemption on the cross into the world at this time, in this place, born to these parents, having conceived these children, so that the most grace can be poured into the world. But we're born into this battlefield, and our effectiveness is purity of thought, word, and deed. Because anywhere that we have a breakdown of purity in our thought, our speech, and our actions, the demon has data. It has information now that they can use against us and start working against us. Oh, you have a curiosity about serial killers. Interesting. And then he knows how to exploit that curiosity. He knows what temptations to lay out. Believe me, we've got a playbook that's been working against us from the beginning of time, since Adam and Eve's fall. So we have to work towards purity. And we know, as Roman Catholics, the only way to achieve true purity is the practice of the Catholic faith, living and practicing our faith, discipline in our prayer life, ordering our lives to prayer. Everything around us that does not belong to God, is not of God, must be discarded or reordered to Christ. And if it's not, we have to move on from that, including some unhealthy relationships, because the demon holds in there. Everything must be ordered toward Christ. This is just living a Christian life. It might sound radical, but it's living a Christian life. And thanks be to God, we have, as Catholics, the means of deep purity, and not just we don't just have a book that we can read and hope that we can understand what the book says. We have, in a relationship with Jesus Christ, we can have a union with Christ, bodily union with Christ, sacramental, bodily, physical, soul union with Christ through the sacraments. And it began when we were baptized. And everything that the diabolic does, including this individual, it's an inversion and distortion and mockery of Christ, the Church, and the Blessed Mother.
Dan,
this. What does the priest do? What does the priest do at the Holy Eucharist? He calls down through an epiclesis a memory. Through the memory of the Church, he calls down Christ on the altar, and the body of Christ, the bloodless sacrifice, is forth. What this is an absolute mockery of Christ and his blood that saved us. It's a mockery of Christ's sacrifice and our recollection as the people of God through the priest.
Dan, this lady, Marina Abramović, she embodies that phrase that goes, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Because she's promoting an anti-gospel, and she's using the rich and famous to really project this anti-gospel around the world. Everything about spirit cooking and about her whole life, she promotes what's evil, what's ugly, and what's false. And I like the way you summed it up. That was perfect. What she's doing is essentially just a mockery of the Catholic faith. Specifically, Holy Communion, she's mocking that. She's mocking Catholic art. She's mocking Catholic icons. And especially, I never connected that, she's also mocking the victim's soul, specifically Christ in some of the pictures that you see there. Let me ask you another question about the importance of, I think the devil's known how important the custody of the eyes are. I mean, going back to Job chapter 31, about Job saying, I have made a covenant with my eyes that I will not gaze upon a virgin. St. John Vianney says, we must watch our mind, our hearts, and our senses, for these are the gates by which the devil enters. I think even Plato had a notion of how powerful the sight was, the sense of sight, because in Plato's cave, it's a powerful metaphor that I think we can foreshadow today to the modern day television or the modern day movies. He sets up the scenario in the book of the Republic. There's men in a cave that they're chained up. And so they're looking at shadows on a wall illuminated by fire and puppets behind them. And to me, as I remember, I read that in college years ago. To me, I wrote a paper on this, that this speaks directly to the American experience of today. People, myself included, have oftentimes acted like mind-numb robots, and we look at shadows and illusions of reality through the television. And so today, we're probably even far worse than the men in Plato's caves because they were chained and they were forced to look at shadows while we look at shadows, TV, the cinema, through our own volition. And so I think Plato was God's pre-biblical, pre-Christian instrument to warn us of the potential evil of unchecked television. Because to me, the fire in his cave is a symbol of Christ, the light of the world. And the shadows, for me, are a symbol of this transitory world. And we as believers should keep our face on and to the sun, S-O-N, and not concentrate on life's shadows. And so I can only imagine the consequences that have happened since the invention of the television and movie cinema. All this unrestricted, unmonitored, uncensored television watching, what all of this has leveled upon our society, it reminds me of this one guy I heard, Zig Ziglar, a Baptist motivational speaker, rest in peace. He says, quote, "We become what we experience through our senses." Comments, thoughts, Dan?
Absolutely. No, I love Zig Ziglar. He tremendous motivational speaker. What you see is we see from Colossians 2:17 that these are the shadows of the things to come. The reality belongs to Christ. Mm. The Spanish version, if you're bilingual, you can read a Spanish version. It's closer to the Greek. It sets up a contrast between shadows to the reality, but the reality, the Greek word soma is there, or the cuerpo in Spanish. All realities, all the shadows of the former point to the reality of the body of Christ, the Eucharistic body of Christ, the physical body of Christ that was sacrificed, whose blood shed for our salvation, but also the body of Christ, the church. And so the demon cannot create, the demon can only mimic, the demon can only mock this value of Christ. And so casting shadows, causing doubt, working in the shadows of symbolism and mockery of the reality that we as Christians possess as with the body of Christ.
Listening to Jesus 911, two-man car, we're talking about custody of the eyes, custody of the intellect, especially insofar as we're talking about horror movies and the macabre, and the kingdom of the cult. We'll be right back. Don't turn that dial.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to his church, to aid and defend her.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911 Soul Patrol, two-man car, Schneider and Romero, talking about all things Catholic spiritual warfare. By the way, if you like what you hear, then like us, subscribe, and share this show with others. We want to grow this audience. We believe this is a very unique show in the Catholic Church. In all Catholic media, there's nobody talking this poignant about spiritual warfare from a Catholic point of view anywhere on Catholic media. We do this consistently Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And on Wednesdays, we have our SWAT guys, Kyle and Dan. Dan, the Catechism says in paragraph 407, it says that the devil, I'll just paraphrase this, the devil has a certain domination over man. Man has a wounded nature inclined to evil, which gives serious errors in the areas of education, politics, social action, and morals. So it's clear that the devil has impacted virtually everything. I would also say that he's also impacted the media. I don't know if you saw a video. It's been watched by millions and millions of people. It's only been around a few weeks. It's called Out of Shadows. It's about two Hollywood stuntmen. Both of them had like a 30-year career in Hollywood. And they worked for the media. They knew all the A-list actors. And the documentary is called Out of Shadows. They talk about the diabolical Luciferian underpinnings of Hollywood. They said, we saw this all our life. We just kind of, wanted to not see it. But they had a conversion. Both these guys are now serious Catholics, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who knows? They probably listened to our show for all I know. But the fact is, they just exposed, again, the Luciferian diabolical connections. They even did a long section on Marina Abramović and the fact that she has her tentacles all over Hollywood. And so, Dan, does this, on a macro level, is this surprising? And also, I'm looking at another article that I've shared over and over again. It says, the six companies that own almost all of the 100 media outlets. Did you know there's six billionaires that virtually own all the 100 media outlets? This is why programs like this, Jesus 911, which is alternative media on the internet, this is why programs like this is so important. So if you like us, subscribe and share this with others, because this is where you're going to get unfiltered Catholicism. We're not beholden to these six billionaire companies who own 100 of the conglomerates. So Dan, my question to you is, it's no surprise then that the devil would use the biggest forum to try to infect so many people's senses. I mean, the television was invented in the 1920s. It's a very recent technological phenomena. Is it surprising that the devil would use the television to try to enter into a person's house and into their senses? And or am I making too much of this? Is this just a lot of hay?
No, I think you're spot on. Was it Blessed Maria Tiagi that had a vision? This was pre-television. She had a vision of homes with a blue screen set up in the homes that demons were jumping out of the.
I just pulled up the quote, Dan. I'll give it to you.
Yeah,
I just pulled it up.
Hit me, baby.
Here it is. 1821, American Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton. Here's what she said.
Ann Seton. Okay.
Yeah, here's what she said. Quote. She said this in the middle of the 18th century. She says, every American, this is 100 years before the invention of the television. So nobody had a concept of a television. She says, every American would have a black box in their home and the devil would enter into it. Close quote. So this one statement by Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton, it should strike your heart like lightning, Dan. What do you say?
I think it's spot on that we have to be so careful of what we allow in our home. And when we're dealing with younger, parents, young parents with children at home, it's getting harder and harder for them to draw the line and not drive their children away. And it has to start early. Again, the analogy of the bank tellers is important for parents to put inside their head. I'll give you another blue collar analogy, okay, or reality.
Yeah.
For you country and western fans, I like both kinds of music, both country and western. And so Charlie Daniels' band had that famous song, "The Devil Went Down to Georgia." And so we thought that was cute. We thought that was a neat song. He beats him on the fiddle and all that stuff. But this reality of exchanging one's soul for worldly power, fame, et cetera, is real. And people are doing this, and they're gaining power. You and I discussed there was a warlock doing a ceremony down in Mexico, big-time nasty stuff, if you recall. And the people that were going down there, some went down there to participate in the satanic ritual for asking for favors from the demons, and others were already practicing witchcraft, and they were seeking more power. At the end of the day, it's power that is drawn to this. A second thing comes to mind, if you can let me get geeky for a minute. The word you're describing, that Plato's describing, this casting of shadows, phantasmagoria is the Greek word. It's this projection of evil, and by looking at those projections, it helps form. And by us looking with the eyes, memories are evoked, images are evoked, and now the demon has fodder to work with. This is the dark side. This is the twisted side of you and your cousin laying on the ground on a nice summer, semi-cloudy summer afternoon, looking at the clouds going, I see a chicken. Yeah, I see Uncle Bob. You know, I see a bow and arrow, whatever. Mm. But using the imagination in an unholy way. And so this is all very good for us to study, because we have to know what the enemy's doing. You know, we know we're up against. We got to show the audience and our listeners, this is what we're doing. This is what Father Ripperger has been doing. And we're executing with Freedom Through Christ and Liber Christo, helping others to understand how it works. Because I know that most guys, at the end of the day, they're just spiritually putting ice packs on their face and just trying to stop the bleeding. How do we see the punches before they come in? I think it's very, very important.
Dan, let me ask you a question now in the last few minutes that we have about the power of Catholic art, of Catholic icons. I know several priests that are involved in healing, deliverance, and exorcism around the country, probably half a dozen, that they have a special room where they do their sessions. And boy, oh boy, those rooms look like, they're just top heavy with icons and images and relics. And they tell me that immediately when the energumen steps into that room, it's almost an immediate manifestation. There's visceral pain that the demon feels, because they're surrounded by, you know, life-size pictures of Our Lady of Guadalupe, life-size pictures of the Divine Mercy, relics of saints around the room. How powerful is it, let's keep it practical, for a Catholic to adorn their house with good Catholic art, relics, and good Catholic images that are blessed? How important is that to staying protected from the diabolical?
Oh, I think it's absolutely important. It's central. You have to clean your home. If you walk into your home, people are going to know a Roman Catholic lives here, a follower of Jesus Christ who is taking his name, Christian. Is this a home that is worthy of that name? It's extremely important. Again, in the extreme, we see in the effect of sacramentals, of sacred images upon the soul. When you see a person who is diabolically afflicted, the visceral reaction, because the demons traffic through the various senses. So sight, smell, sound. So holy chanting, visual arts, incense, candles, engaging the senses is all part of spiritual warfare. So this is part of our phase one of Liber Christo. Take down the picture of Johnny Cash, with all due respect, and put a picture of Jesus Christ. There's only room for one JC on your wall. Take Johnny Cash down and put Jesus Christ on the wall. You know what I mean? So those images help project and recall the events. Yes, why do we have images of our ancestors on the wall and our friends and family mostly? Because we want to recall the memory. But the sacred images are imbued with the charism of the individual. So an image of Our Lady of Sorrows, very powerful. Image of Saint Michael, very powerful. And another thing that is often used in deliverance and exorcism is relics. Another aspect is very powerful is the use of relics. So all this is, we're bodily Christians, and this is why the diabolic mimics that and mocks it and also engages. It isn't just sitting back hocus pocus. There are formulae. They're using matter and mimic of us, because matter becomes the agency, it's called, inanimate agency, right? Which means the physical world conveys power. Either we're going to use right sacramentals, water, oils, salt, blessed by a Roman Catholic priest to convey the power of God, the authority of the Church of Christ on earth, or we're going to use them for magical practices. And if you're using them for magical practices, you've just told the demon, I like you, I want to be your friend. And believe me, these guys are not your friend.
Dan, unpack this one last statement. We got about 2 minutes. When you and Kyle use this term, demons militate to the absurdity. Unpack that for the audience. You got about 2 minutes. Go.
What we mean by that is that once the demon gets inward, once he gets in, starts getting some manipulative power over the soul, he begins to militate in a bloodthirst way that cannot be, that is insatiable. So the extent that you surrender to the evil influences in you, the demon won't stop at a certain point. Now, he will pause at times when they sense that you might be making a conversion movement. But otherwise, if unchecked, they will either drive through your will. If you try to make a movement back to the Church, back to Christ, they will either drive and punch right through it, or they'll lay low until you get weak again, and then they're going to push you to things that are absolutely absurd. Look back on the things that you've done back in those days. What St. Paul says, it is shameful to even mention the things that we use. These were what you used to be, but now you have been redeemed in Jesus Christ. But the demon will drive you to absurd things in an insatiable bloodthirst to destroy souls. So we see the absurdity when we look now, not just the mockery, but the absurdity of this individual that does this soul cooking stuff, satanic worship. It just drives people little by little, incrementally, drawing you till you wake up in a point and you realize, oh my gosh, this is weird. But fortunately for us, we have consciences. We have the ability to call upon Christ, the day for profundus privilege, out of the depths I cry unto you. And souls finally go, I will do this, but I won't do that. And at that point, when they draw the line with their will, I'm no longer going to participate. I won't do that. I'll continue this. At that point, the will begins to be reengaged, and now we can get souls moved back to Christ.
Awesome. Good stuff. Dan Schneider, Jess Romero, Jesus 911, Soul Patrol. Hope you like it, what you heard. If you like this program, well, like us and hit the subscribe button. Share it with others on your social media. Dan, thanks a lot, brother. God bless you. We'll do this again. You've been listening to Jesus 911 Catholic Spiritual Warfare, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. On Wednesdays, you know, we got the SWAT team here, Spiritual Weapons and Tactics, Clement and Schneider. Hey, stick around. Don't turn that dial. We've got the big guy, Gary Matuta, hands-on apologetics. You don't want to miss what's coming up. We'll talk to you later. Have a blessed day. See you next time. Same Christ time, same Christ channel. Again, if you like what you hear, like us, hit the subscribe button, share this with us. God bless you. Viva Cristo Rey.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh, my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin most powerful radio. Sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.